The back of it looks like when you stretch your balls too tight. That's what the back of that head looks like. All the veins. Look at that. See? You pull it tight with the ribs. Is it just me?
I think you need to see a doctor. Yeah, that's just you, buddy.
Maybe it's the front. Maybe it's more the front. I don't know. Yeah, it's a lot of skin that hangs up. It's awful. Everybody, what is going to happen? It's Nolan North. It's Retro Replay. We are in the basement, and I am officially 50. Cheers. This is coffee, because I've had been a pretty busy 96 hours. That's 4 days, right? Is it 96?
That's math. That's above.
That's math.
Me.
Okay, so here's the deal. I had family come in, and I bit off a little more than I could chew, trying to keep up with the younger folk. And I drank everything. I drank all the liquids. And I paid for it. Walked in today and I just said, hey, Paul. He's like, are you sick? I'm like, no. My throat's literally gone Gary Busey. Right? What that is it takes off layers of flesh inside your trachea as you drink. It has just been, woo, here, sip. To all the replayers, cheers.
Is that how Busey like gets into character? You think he just drinks for 96 hours straight?
He doesn't get into character. He is that character. Oh, man. Hair of the dog. Let's get right to it. Topics and tangents. Drew picked up some really good ones that I'm excited about this week. Green dogs, green puppies.
Yeah.
This is so interesting to me. So a puppy in Italy, it was born with green pigment in his fur, and they call him pistachio, which is the greenest of all the nuts. there's a joke there, but I'm letting it go. Did you know about this? So the pigmentation occurs when pale puppies come in contact with biliverdin in their mother's womb. I mean, we've all been there. It's the same kind of thing, pigment in your bodies that makes bruises appear green. But I saw the picture, put the picture up. It's a pale green.
Yeah.
It's a hue. It's not a.
Right. It's like a bad hair dye day. If you dyed your hair green and then like 4 weeks later, it's kind of like.
There's a thing called Beverly Hills Red, and it's the old women in Beverly Hills that go get their hair done, and they have this color. They call it Beverly Hills Red, and it's like not in the spectrum of colors, and yet they walk around there, you know, with their 24-year-old boy toys.
Curtis, get the car.
He's like, I'm doing this for money. He's doing it for money. Because that's got to be just like, that reminds me of like what, you know, sex with like prosciutto and deli meats. Anyway,
I don't know.
It didn't only happen in Italy. It happened in Asheville, North Carolina. They named the dog the Hulk. I dig that.
Yeah. That's great.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Green dogs.
You clearly, that person clearly, like when it's St. Patrick's Day,
That dog's a shit, right?
Yeah.
It's get it. So get it like a little bit of Guinness. Ooh, can't talk alcohol. Speaking of Ireland, Irish court. Were we speaking of Ireland? Yeah, St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Wow, I have no idea where I am. Nanny, is that you? Okay. Irish court rules Subway bread. Subway, the chain of sandwiches.
Yeah.
Sandwiches is not bread. Apparently bread, a 6-inch Subway contains 5 grams of sugar in the bread. And in order to, quote, qualify as bread, there are strict provisions. Amount of sugar in bread shall not exceed 2% of the weight of the flour included in the dough. Therefore, Subway's bread contains 5 times as much sugar, 10% of the weight of the flour. This could be the reason that we have like, you know, it's not even real food. We don't even feed our citizens real food anymore. Everybody on the organic craze. My dad gets so pissed at like organic. We didn't have organic. I'm like, when I was a kid, even when you were a kid, there was no such thing as organic. I'm like, yeah, no, everything was organic.
Yeah.
Now it's not.
Right.
Organic's just another fancy word for going, it's real.
It's like, yeah.
Americans are just like, I want my tomatoes the size of pumpkins. And we can make them. We can just pump them full of enough hormones and testosterone.
Yeah.
I had a tomato punch me in the face.
Did you?
Trying to make sauce.
Wow.
It was like one of those little Italian ones. Like, hey, come on, again. Gave me a little shot.
That tomato saw Rocky the night before, and
he
got a little confidence.
Yeah. Then I put it next to some peppers that look like Burgess Meredith. It's like, hey, you gotta fight him, Rock. Hit him low in the nuts. Okay.
Wait.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Didn't you promote Subway?
Get your code on 30-ounce drinks today. Subway, where winners eat. Now.
I did.
Did you do the lines?
Yeah. No, I had to say it. I mean, then they Naughty Dog did, you know, took literally some of the stuff we did.
Yeah.
I think I've told that story. Like when the first Uncharted, they flew me to New York to do mocap jumping. And I thought, and I was jumping off platforms and I'm like, where's the stunt guy? And they're like, what? And I'm like, oh my God. And I had to run down this little ramp going, I'm going to hurt myself. And I did, I actually twisted my ankle, but I had to keep going. But I was jumping like off like 12 feet into mats. And they were just like I'm a gymnast and I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like if I had to do that now, I'd be like, no, I'm officially old enough to go. No, kid. I'm not even embarrassed. Were you too old? Yes, yeah. I'm too old for this. I'm not too old to cash the check, but I am too old to crack an ankle. I mean, and that's the thing. You know what? That might be the rant now.
Yeah.
People were like, oh, I had a guy at Port Charles, my first ever job. He was 80, 81 years old. He was a grip, electric grip. We called him Batman because at lunch we would open the studio doors and there's ladders on the side of the studios that are bolted to the walls. He would scurry up that thing, and I stress he scurried, and he flipped himself upside down, hang upside down, and he'd do stretches and some ab things. And we're like, what are you doing? He goes, oh, you kids don't know. You're young now, but never lose your flexibility. That's where the key is. You eat healthy, your flexibility, you know. He's right. And I'm telling you now, that's my thing. On my brain. I just decided I have a new workout routine, stretching routine. In the first day of the stretching routine, torqued my back. I mean, like on an ice pack, have to go to the doctor, can't stand up quite straight, got stuck on the toilet, you know, wasn't even doing a number two, just too lazy to stand up. And I went to stand up. I was like, eh. And it was awful. So there's the rant. Kids, stretch. Stretch. If you're young, stretch. If you're old, stretch. We got to get our flexibility back. Everybody says go do yoga, but yoga can be revealing.
Hot yoga.
Hot yoga. Hot yoga, I actually did that once, and I had to leave. You know what? This, obviously, it happened on Halloween, my birthday, but I did want to touch on this a little bit. Sean Connery, Sir Thomas Sean Connery, passed away age of, I think he was 90. Oh, that's, oh, wow. So I'm actually friends with his son, Jason. And so condolences to the family. He was my all-time favorite Bond. I mean, he's the Indiana Jones Last Crusade. I mean, the man who would be king.
Mr.
Bond. James Bond.
From Russia with Love was his favorite Bond film.
It's a good one.
He was a king. One of my favorite stories is Tom Kane, who some of you may know as Takeo in the Call of Duty Zombies. He's also the announcer for the Academy Awards, and he does a lot of those type of, you know, like, you know, please welcome, you know, Charlie Sheen and Miakam Bialik, whether, I don't know, Mayim Bialik, whatever, I'm just making up names now. No, he does announcing like that. He did the AFI salute to Sean Connery years ago, and he actually had done some dubbing for Sean Connery. And he tells a great story. We should have him on sometime to tell this. I might be ruining it. But he walked up to the bar, and Sean Connery was there. And he said, you're the announcer. You're doing a very nice job. And he goes, thank you. And he said, and stupidly, I just went, you know, I actually have did some dubbing for you. And he goes, oh, it seems everyone has an impression. which I'm doing now terribly. He goes, all right, let's hear it. And in front of a bunch of people, Tom Kane had to go and do an impression of him to his face. And apparently he just looked at him and he goes, it's not bad, but I've heard better. And he like walked away. And I said, what did you do? He goes, I was just happy he didn't hit me. Because he had that. Do you know he is also Mr. Universe?
Oh, really?
Yeah. A lot of people don't know that. He was like a power lifter. You know, back before Arnold turned it into something like that looks almost deformed. He was an unbelievable, what a character. So cheers to Sean Connery. God bless him. Rest in peace. Yeah. Thank you for all that you did. And our guest today, Alan Tudyk.
Yeah.
Let's go to him now. Alan Tudyk. Ladies and gentlemen, Alan Tudyk.
Yay.
Hey!
What's up, buddy?
Ladies and gentlemen. Not much.
You are clearly being held against your will in a room of nothing but gray, silvery gray. Vancouver?
So, yeah, it's amazing you can tell that. This is Vancouver.
Vancouver curtains.
Yes.
I know.
The drapes here.
Drapes.
I think they're drapes.
Yes.
I don't know. They came with the place.
I like it.
They were here when we got here. We love this place, man. You know, Carissa, my wife, is Canadian, and we were shooting, I was shooting Resident Alien up here.
Would live in a place like this, unless they have something to hide.
And then we had to pause because of a worldwide pandemic, and we stayed and didn't go back to the States and fell in love with this place and bought a place. So now we live here.
You live there. That's unbelievable.
We live here. We live here. We still, you know, we got a place in L.A., but what's in L.A.? Not much these days.
Just me. Just
oh,
me.
Oh, well, there. That's,
and they're
and you're not even in L.A.
And they're desperately trying to get me out. I mean, they really are. It's like he's got to go. There's billboards now. I'll take a picture later. Resident Alien, so season one in the can, right? Have you shot any of season two? When is it all? What's the latest?
Well, so this man... 10 episodes we shot for Sci-Fi, the one SYFY.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that one?
Yes.
It took us 2 years to shoot 10 episodes. Can you believe that?
You're being efficient.
Oh boy! So we shot the first, we shot the pilot, and then they took a while to figure out when they were like, "We love it, we're gonna make it." And then they're like, "We're gonna make it on this day." Wait a second, Hope. Let's move it to this day. Whatever. This day. So they kept kicking it down the road. And then we finally started it. So we started late to make the other 9. And then COVID happened. So we paused for a good 6-7 months or something. And then finished. And it'll come out January, maybe around the 14th on Sci-Fi.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so January. So we'll be looking for that. But do you have like any plans for season two? Have you started shooting or anything like that? Can you talk about that?
I mean, season one, I think they need to see what season one does, you know, see if people like it. I've only seen the pilot, and for so long I've seen the pilot. For 2 years I've watched this pilot, and it's also very good. And the way that we shot it, I kind of don't remember a whole lot. It's very funny. I play an alien. But I look like me most of the time, but in reflections, you see me as the alien. And there's a little boy who can see me as the alien. And so whenever this little boy who's 9, whenever he's in a scene with me, then I'm in this alien mask. And I'm just trying to, it's like a fish out of water, but I'm not a fish. I'm an alien. And I'm definitely
fish
not
alien.
In water.
Can you share a little bit of what he looks like? Is that?
Oh yeah. Well, yes. Well, first you can see 7 minutes of it.
Okay. Where?
7 minutes in heaven, baby. IGN, if you put Resident Alien, 7 minutes.
Guys, here's the link. Check it out, 7 minutes with Alan Tudyk. There it is.
So you can watch, you can get a sense of the tone of the show and sort of the character. And this is an actual, so it has, you know, some CGI stuff and there's effects, but there is also practical mask that I wear. This is when they take it off, they ruin it. They put a new one on every time, and then they paint it every time from here down. So this is sort of this. One day I hope to auction these off for like charity.
Yeah, and depending on how well it goes, that could be very, very valuable.
Yes, or just a piece of junk that I should have left in the trash. But I think it's a good show. I really like the show. I'm not like naturally an enthusiastic guy about the stuff I do. I'm one of those actresses like, I should have done a thing different, and I wish I had done a thing this, that, and the other. But I really like how it turned out. So.
How do you deal with that? Because I'm the same way. Like when I do, because you know, a lot of people know that you do a lot of animation. You and I share a lot in common where we've done a lot of motion capture and different mediums, of course. But it's like sometimes I can't wait to watch an animated movie or a show that I did, because people don't realize that we record the audio first, then they animate to it, then we get to see it first time like they do usually. And when I watch myself on camera, I'm like, they used that take. Shit. Oh, I would have done that differently. Like, did my voice sound a little high on that take? Like, so, I don't know how you, like, are you one of those people who shies away from it?
I don't watch stuff I've done, usually. I will watch it when it comes out, and then I won't watch it again.
But are you more excited to see animation that you've done? Rather than you're on camera, because I am. I kind of go, not just to hear my voice, but to see how they put it all together.
Oh, yeah, that's great. That's great. There's sometimes there's that step that happens after you've voiced, after they've animated, and the animators have come up with a little something, or they realize, we need something else in here, and you get a chance to see it.
Yeah.
I got to see a scene from Resident Alien that that's a on camera scene, and I got to see a scene because they had to. There was an improv. I improvised. It was a joke take, and I just went off. And I usually don't do that, but I just went on and on and on about a joke. I just kept doing punchlines, basically. You know, you just another punchline, another punchline, another punchline, another punchline. And the creator Chris Sheridan said, "I think we might use that whole thing." And I said, "Don't you dare." Don't do that, man. Let's have some restraint, for Christ's sakes. Let's just don't use any of that. That was just for us. Please don't do it. Please don't do it. So then the editors got a hold of it, and they're like, use the whole thing. And he's such a cool guy. He sent me the scene and said, look, I put the whole thing in. You watch it. You tell me if you don't want it in there, and I'll take it out. And isn't that nice?
Very cool.
We're leaving it in.
And leaving it in? That's perfect. Well, I remember when one of my favorite days as an actor was on Con Man with you when we did Jerry Lansing's mocap studio. And I just recently watched that with some of my new reps, and they loved it. And they were like, what happened to that show? That was great. And I was like, he's too busy. He's off doing a bunch of other stuff. And, but that day where we just were, I mean, obviously you wrote a bunch of that was so great, but
you took it and went. Yeah, that character was you. You lived that character.
No, but that day.
You know, Con Man.
That day with the, you know, remember she had the hand. My favorite part of that, when she kind of, and he's like, what is she doing? She's a silly elephant. He's like, why? He's like, doesn't say she's not a silly elephant. And you're like, and I remember he just looked at me. He's like, okay. It's like rather than go like make a face, he just went. It was almost like Alan looked at me, he was like, oh, that makes sense, okay. And it just kept going. And it was just, every take was a little bit different. It was so great.
What is she doing?
She's a silly elephant.
Okay.
It was one of my favorite days we've ever done.
That was good. It came out. I was thinking about Con Man. You know, we came out, the first season came out on Vimeo. Like, what? Things don't come out on Vimeo. I was surprised that I was surprised a lot of people haven't seen it. Like, why was I thinking people would? There's so much stuff on Vimeo. And then our second season came out on a service that was right when a lot of services were coming out that was gone in a year. So think about like all the, like Quibi. Like there was like big stars and stuff on Quibi. We'll never know what was on that thing. No. There's too much out there. It's gone.
I didn't like Quibi. I didn't like the name. It sounded like an STD, like a cute one, you know, that, you know, it's like you'd get like a herpy kind of Quibi, but it would be kind of like where Cindy Crawford's mole is. So it'd be kind of sexy, but you got Quibi.
Yeah.
Hands off.
Hands, but it's kind of sexy.
It's kind of sexy. Kind of like a really hot woman who has a slightly lazy eye. I dig that. I don't know about you guys, but like Heidi Klum is like slightly like that, and I find it sexy.
Wow.
Just me?
Plus she's I've never thought she had a lazy eye. Is that really?
I thought so.
I mean,
didn't
I get she? That works to your advantage if they have a little bit of a.
I need.
They
to,
really don't can't see always, you clearly. And they're always, like, I'm in.
I was kind of like Jerry Lewis. There's only like certain people, like the French find him to be a genius, and I think he's funny, but you know, genius. But you know, what I found out about that Jerry Lewis, Drew. By the way, little side note, they actually were huge. That's not really true. They were a huge. The guy who used to dub his films in France was a massive star, and people loved him. So they associated Jerry Lewis with that guy's voice because he dubbed him in French, and that was why he got all that praise. Like, he's a genius.
But his lines were...
But do it in French. He's like, bonjour, bon tout que je, bonjour, lady. You know?
I'm liking
like,
it more
yeah,
already.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Much better than the German clash. Version, which just was sounded angry all the time.
We're actually redubbing this
lady
interview in French.
Yes, exactly. We're going to redub it all in French.
Yeah.
I have a question. So at one point when I was talking to you, you were doing Resident Alien.
Yes.
Weren't you also doing Doom Patrol in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Weren't you
that
like,
crazy.
Weren't you flying cross country into different countries at one point? Yeah. Are you the hardest working actor in the business?
That was a weird time. That was a very busy time.
Yeah.
I got two jobs at once, and they just came out of the blue, which is always a good reminder for all actors and people. And I have to remind myself as I'm in one of those fallow periods,
nice.
Because we finished 2 weeks ago. I'm not working, and then it's just like suddenly there were two auditions, and they auditioned. This is a good one for the agents. Like hundreds of people for this role of Harry the alien in Resident Alien. And then I was the last one they auditioned, and they were like, we're done. I think we're going to just have to shelve it for another year and come back because we don't even know what we want anymore. We've seen too many people. We've lost it. I came in and they went, that's the guy. And why was I not in the earlier? You know, anyway. So
that's the business, right?
I guess so. It worked out, definitely. So I got that job, and I had gotten a job to do Doom Patrol like the same time. So I was able to say, if you guys can work it out, I'll do it. And they were both interested in working it out. So I got to have two jobs at once.
Well, that's a testament to your career. The fact that anybody, I mean, they'd be like, if it were me, they'd be like, one or the other, or you get neither. What do you want? It's just like, it's like going to a menu. It's like, I'd like an omelet. Like, he got the last omelet. You don't get omelet. Do you have any eggs? Yes, but we're not making an omelet. You want bread? You don't get bread either.
Just get out.
Just get out.
Yeah.
But sweep the floor first.
I don't think it's the best way to work. I don't think that's the best, that your brain is split between two characters. I'm much better off when I think, focused on one thing. Because I'm just unhappy. I'm fairly unhappy when I'm stressed and tired and schedules in my head. And I'm terrible at schedules. And I just feel like I'm under the gun all the time. I think it's better just to have one thing.
Well,
now I live in Canada. And I, you know, Resident Alien, hopefully we'll get a season two, and this will just be my one thing now. I'll just do Resident Alien every year for as many years as it runs, and then there'll be the fallow time when I just hang out with my wife and my dogs.
Fallow time, I like that.
Yeah, I think that's the term, like when a field lays fallow, when it's unused, when it's...
Yes. Yeah,
that's me. I'm a field laid fallow.
You are dried wheat. Just grass. Yeah. You just got to roll you up and turn you into a bale. But you look good. You look like COVID's been good to you. In your fallow period, you've been running through the fallow fields, apparently.
Yes.
Staying fit.
There's Stanley Park, it's one of the biggest reasons why we're here in Vancouver. We lived in, just like you, lived in New York City for a long time and got really accustomed to that kind of walking city. So Vancouver is a very small version of a, you know, like that kind of city. You can walk around and there's all the things you want in a city. This is kind of sounds like a pitch for Vancouver. I don't necessarily want a bunch of people moving here. So don't take this. I'm just telling you what I like. You might not like it.
I might.
You might like it. Well, there's Stanley Park. So take the size of Central Park and add a third. That's what Stanley Park is. And unlike Central Park, which is, yes, it's bigger. And unlike Central Park, which is completely landscaped and everything is planned and there's no place you can be where you can't be seen by the popo, which is a big concern for me.
Yeah.
There are huge chunks of this thing that are completely impassable. Man, I try to find these other little trails and take the dogs and you get stuck and it can kind of be a pain in the ass. Like you scratch yourself up just trying to get through this thing. But I found this tent that looked like a serial killer's tent. It had stuff in it. People hadn't been in it in a while.
Why did you go into the tent? What do you mean people hadn't been in it? Did you?
It didn't look like somebody had been in it for a while. There was a lot of mold and a lot of green sort of fungus.
It reminds you, the comedian Dave Attell?
Yes.
Dave Attell had a great thing. He said, I don't go for jogging because joggers are always the ones that find the body. What a beautiful day. I feel great. Is that a shoe? You're the one who found the tent.
I feel like I might find a body. Yeah. I found Buddhas. There's a part of the park where people have just put a bunch of Buddhas and hidden them all in these trees. There's like 65 of them. I've only found a few, but I was then, once I inquired about it, I found out there's 65 Buddhas in there. Some are small, some are big.
Well, you gotta bring
a magical place.
You gotta bring your own. Bring your own Buddha.
I don't wanna jog a big ass Buddha out there. We are moving and shaking when we're out there. Plus, there's coyotes, and the coyotes out here are gorgeous, but they're very well fed, and I'm hoping they stay away from my dogs. They were tracking us one day. I turned around, and they were like coming up, and I picked up the dogs and got rid of it, got out of there, and then we're in another part and turned around, and damn if they didn't find us again, and we're creeping up again. Like, come on.
Do you know
on. Something?
Do you know that so where I live, a lot of coyotes, and and that's why we have massive dogs, Great Pyrenees, 155 pounds, and I got three of them. And
hairballs.
Monster dogs. Do you know the coyotes? They're not dogs. I tell people I don't have pets. I have livestock. Do you know that a vet was telling me that about coyotes? He said, they're very, very intelligent. He said they know through scent how big your dogs are by smelling the poop that's in the yard. They can just go, those are big meat eaters. Let's not go in that yard. Over here, okay, we got some tasty chihuahua over here at this address. And literally,
wow.
And do you know, I was telling my neighbor about that, and he said, hey, let the dogs over if you don't mind. I want them to poop in my yard. And my dogs shit in my neighbor's yard on purpose, out down by the fence, where any kind of, just to protect his little cocker poo. And
nice.
So far, so I'm going to start selling dog feces for pet owners. I could send some
because
up to you.
Because the cockapoo's poo was not working. Exactly. You can put they have granulated cougar pee you can sprinkle in your yard. You don't need it for your neighbor.
I don't want that because then maybe a cougar's coming out and going, hey, who's peeing? And then next thing you know, I'm being eaten by a cougar when I go out to pee in the yard because I'm too lazy to go all the way to the bathroom. I do that. Right. We can edit that, right? Good.
No, that's staying in.
As long as you don't stand on the edge of your pool when you do it. Hey, just in the deep end. You like to hear it hit the water.
Is the shallow end okay?
Yeah, sure.
It just makes a different sound. So today on the show, I played Astro Boy, the video game. And
I'm in that movie.
Are you in the movie?
I'm in the movie. That was one of my first animated film voice acting jobs. I played several roles in there.
Look up Astro Boy IMDb. I don't think I was in it. Get this. I was supposed to be in the movie. I did the early mocap for the Astro Boy and the animators at Imagi. Because Imagi, who made that movie, did TMNT when I played Raphael. And I'm in this video game, but I didn't remember doing the video game. And then he shows me the list. I'm like, you and I in the first scene of the video game, it's you and I. You were Windex, this little Windex bottle.
Oh, there. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I was, what was I, Ham Egg? And I'm doing this, like, almost sound like Richard Kind. Oh, God. And you're talking, and were talking to Astro Boy, and I went, oh my gosh, I had no idea about these things.
Similar to the voice I was using, I think. I was a guy who was out there with the Windex. God, look at that little, he's a boy, or he's a...
Yeah, and I was
going, Jerry Lewis, but not in France.
But I was more like Richard Kind. Oh, kind of a little dopier, and you were more aggressive. I was that person. And it was just, was, and I didn't even know it. I got here today, we're playing this. I'm like, cool. I said, is Alan in this? And he's like, yeah. So turns out, and you were in the movie playing.
Richard Kind is the dopier Jerry Lewis.
He's
how dare you? He is a national treasure.
He is. He's wonderful, but not in France. But he could be. I don't know. He's very kind. You know, he's George Clooney's roommate for many, many years. Little tidbits inside Hollywood, kids. Enjoy it.
That's what I tune in for.
That's right. That means
for the Hollywood tidbits.
All right. Going to let you go. Thank you for being here. But before you do, one thing I opened the show with today. We recently lost Sean Connery. So we were kind of throwing out some stories about Sean Connery and people. And you have one of my all-time favorite stories when you did Spamalot on Broadway. Please indulge me.
So I played the knight who says knee, the main knight who says knee. You play multiple roles in that play. One of the roles I played was the knight who says knee. And if you know, and I know you know, the search for the Holy Grail, that the quest for the Holy Grail that they go to get a shrubbery. And when they bring back, when the king brings back a shrubbery, he says, we no longer are the knights who say knee. We are now the knights who say, just this gibberishy stuff. And we were given license, whoever played that role, was given license to throw something in there. And if you had a famous person in the audience, you could do a little hat tip to them. So I did a hat tip to Sean Connery, who was in the audience that night. So it's ba-tang, boom! And I have to say, my Sean Connery's terrible. I think it might have been better back then. But it was the Chicago way, which you must know. What is that quote?
He
brings a knife, you bring a gun.
You bring a knife.
He puts one in the hospital.
Isn't that just like a Dago? Bringing a knife to a gunfight.
Isn't that just like a wop? Brings a knife to a gunfight.
And then he walks out the back door and gets blown away. It's the Chicago way. The one where he says Chicago.
The one where he says, here's how you get Capone.
We all men in the hospital, you put one of his in the morgue. That's how you get to Capone. That one?
Yes.
He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue.
So that one, so it came in. He brings a knife, you bring a gun. He puts one of yours in the hospital, you put one of his in the morgue. That's the Chicago way. And the whole audience knew that he was there and laughed and laughed, and it was a big moment. So after the show was over, at the stage door, a lot of times when there were famous people who would come, they'd come to the back to say hello to the cast members. And he was there, and he had one of our stage managers with him. And I said, Alan, this is, I believe he was a sir then, yeah. Sir Sean Connery. And he was there with his wife, Coco, I believe is her name. And I said, it's a pleasure to meet you. And he said, do you know, this is the actor who did the quote from The Untouchables. And he goes, oh, I know who he is. It was good. It was good. It was a little bit too good. And he took that finger. Good God, man. That was a meaty link. And he just did a very strong steel-like bone in there. It was a little bit too good. And he hit my chest with it. And in a way that was meant to let me know he didn't like it. And I said, oh, thank you very much. It is very nice to meet you as well, Coco. Good night. Good night. And I left. God bless it. And then was told later, he hates it when people do impressions of him.
Yeah. not a big fan.
Did you meet him? Did you ever do his voice?
The closest I ever got, I'm friends with Jason Connery, his son. And he was at my voiceover agency one time. He would come in and, you know, it's like, who's going to do it in front of Jason? Because Jason could do his dad. And it's just, you just sit there and go, And somebody'd say, you going home after this? I go, yes. And we do these subtle little things like, perhaps. And just like waiting to, and he's just be reading or waiting for him to see if he would recognize you were doing it. And I did it eventually one time before, but I used to say, wouldn't it be interesting, like, and we used to have fun with this, wouldn't it be interesting if he had that iconic voice and that charisma, but he had never made it. And he was there with a bunch of us schlebs waiting for to do copy, sitting there coming in, you know, just walking into the scene. They're going, afternoon, gentlemen. Just read for a part of the waiter in the new Cheetah Girls movie, fingers crossed. And so it was Connery had he never made it. We'd come in and like, and the people, I'd walk in like, this is back when we used to audition at the agency because there was, you didn't have mics at home. So he'd walk in there like, Mr. Connery, you've been working? He goes, yes, boys, just booked a Toyota spot. I'm the one in the red Camry. Is that it? Is it Camry? That's right, a Camry. Very nice car. Love to get one if I could afford it. You know, just like this. So just, but he just put the whole thing like there he would be, you know, in 67-year-old Sean Connery going, oh, yes. Oh, that Nickelodeon. Great roles over there.
elastic so, pants,
yeah.
Velcro shoes,
yeah.
Just no style at all. Yeah,
exactly. Just it's like, I don't know why people bother with laces. These slip-ons are fantastic. No, but it's terrible. So no, I never had the pleasure to do that. But that was that. That's.
I worked on Doom Patrol, and I worked with a different James Bond.
Timothy Dalton, right?
Yeah. I work with Timothy Dalton on Doom Patrol. He's my that's my 007. That guy's a badass.
Is
that
he cool?
That guy is great. Yeah, he can just Shakespearean actor. He can just go on and on about Shakespeare. Like, he talked about theater all the time, and we used to rehearse the scenes before we would do them. Like, you never do that on a set where, you know, usually people are like snacking and just looking at their phones until right before action. And then because everybody's being cool or something. I mean, it's weird how that usually happens. But we'd be in the holding area going through the scene. What about this? What about try this? What about try this? Like,
Nice.
That was what was great about that job, is just working with him, because was with him.
My favorite Timothy Dalton, if we're going to do this, Hot Fuzz. Nick Frost, Simon Pegg, Hot Fuzz.
Oh, yeah.
Is he the mayor or he's running the crazy?
Yeah, he's like a mayor.
He's fantastic. He's just, it was this absurdity and this comedy, and he just played it straight, and he was so charming and just, oh my God, he was great in that.
Yeah, he's I think he's in his 60s now. And I said to Carissa, my wife, I was like, he's still a good looking guy. There was no space between me finishing my sentence. And she goes, oh yeah, he is. Baby.
Hey,
he's good looking. Yeah. Take it easy. We're going to be seeing him. Yeah. We're going
way better
out
than you.
Him a lot.
Way better than you.
Probably just finished watching.
In fact, why don't you stay home? I'll go alone. Wait, stop talking. It's my birthday. I don't care. You never want your wife to just, you know, it's like watching something on TV. She goes, oh, that's a good looking man. Why would you just throw that out in the middle? I mean, don't you agree? I'm like, yeah, but you know, I didn't say that. And why did you have to take your pants off when you did that? She said, that's a good looking man. I'm like, what is happening?
Wow.
Our kids are here. Things get
bet
dark.
You're looking forward to them getting out. Wait, don't they must be out by now. Almost.
No, not with COVID. Everybody's there. Just, we're locked down.
Oh.
Yeah, Coop's in doing college online, and the other one's finishing up senior year. Gonna look
to go to school. That sucks for him, man. He's like on a rocket.
Yeah, but, you know, they don't go anywhere anyway, these kids. They're like, hey, everything's free. We live here free. Can't get a job, COVID. Sorry. It's like, you can get a job.
Play some video games.
Yep. Let's go play video games till 3 a.m, wake up at the crack of 1 p.m.
Do you ever do Oculus on your show? Oculus stuff? Is that a game? Or that's not retro at all. That's the opposite of retro.
We do VR.
We do VR.
It's VR.
Yeah, we do VR. Yeah.
We just got an Oculus. That's the one thing up here that I don't have, which is gaming box, because I wanted to write something instead of during the COVID lockdowns. Like if I get a Xbox, I'm done. So I need to, and I wrote a script.
You did?
Don't tell PJ. Yeah, I wrote a script, but who's making it? Nobody's making it.
All right, buddy, love Oops. You.
Love you too, man. Good to see you in your gray area. No, is there a post? Is there a post color correction that happens over there that I'm not familiar with?
Yes.
Because I look like I'm off to see the wizard, and you're still stuck with Annie M back in wherever, there, Kansas. Yeah. Wherever she's from.
Ah, every little dog too. What was that? Mr. Gale? Mr. Gale?
You're the same color as the wall behind you.
Thank you. It's the only way to get my teeth to look white. They color correct it so I look like Chuck Woolery. Hey, we'll be back in 2 and 2.
That's great.
Alan has dog eyes. Alan doesn't see. Alan just sees shapes. Alan doesn't see color.
But I've got those big meaty turds so that coyotes stay away.
Just put them out by the fence.
I've just lined the fence.
That's what you do, pretty much.
No.
Yep.
What? It's true. Drew, you've been shitting in buckets for years.
Where did Lincoln Logs come from?
Sure.
Lincoln Logs. Yeah. That's what, you know where Lincoln Logs, I think, like, actually came from? I think it was deer poop that kids on the frontier found and went, you know, they connect at some point.
Deer poop is round.
I know, but
so you got to learn this stuff. You're going to go to Texas. You got to.
Well, I'm just. Texas has no state taxes. And that's what, you know, one thing that we get in California. We get some meaty state taxes.
Yeah, that's changing. I mean, it's going to be worse.
I don't know. Right. I don't know. I just.
I don't think you want to move to Vancouver. The taxes here. Although you get a free healthcare system with it. So that it goes.
Yeah, but I don't get sick.
For your money.
I don't get sick.
You don't. You're gray. You're the color gray right now.
Right. Good catching up. Give me a call if you're ever back in crazy, this crazy country. You know where you're.
If I leave, I'm afraid they won't let me back in. So I'm here.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Come tomorrow. Could be this exodus. Canada's like, we're building a wall. It's the greatest wall.
Come up to Vancouver. It'll be over fast, but it's going to be bad for a long time, because where do 40% of the country who are still, I mean, it's a grievance, fucking, that's all they are, is angry about, they feel like victims. Losing won't make them feel less like victims. They'll feel more.
It's going
like
to be
victims.
I just hope it's clear and guns. Clear cut. That's all. Just because I just want people to be, it'd be nice to be people to be cordial again.
Yeah.
If that's possible, I don't know. Right. Social media. Oh, there's some other. Go. Love you. Say hi to Carissa. We'll talk soon.
Love you too.
See you, buddy.
See you guys.
See ya.
Bye.
Hey, it's time for Retro Feud. That's what I've decided that we call this now. Doesn't matter. I might change next week because I forgot. With us today, dear, dear members, longtime members, Michelle Holstein out of West Virginia.
Right.
West Virginia. And the lovely and talented Melanie Steiner, longtime replayer. How are you, Melanie?
Good. Thank you.
Okay, guys, what we do is we've got to pick who goes first. So I'm thinking of a number between, and whoever's closest gets it, between 1 and 20. Michelle, give me a number.
10.
Melanie.
7.
The number is 14, so you can go first. Or no, you get to pick. That's right. The winner gets to pick. We make the rules up every week as we go, so don't worry about it. So would you like to go first or second?
Second.
Okay. All right. Okay. Melanie, you will be going first. Melanie, by the way, you win the award for the most colorful, brightest background of, we're clearly in a rainstorm here. It's great. I know it's color and post. It's a thing. Okay.
It's a running joke in the episode. Yeah.
Yes, running joke. Okay, so we're gonna have 5 questions. There's a time limit that we don't enforce. So there's no time limit, basically. And you know, I just read the first question, and you should be ashamed of yourselves writing questions like this. I don't write the questions, but this is I'm gonna give you extra time.
I'm not
time
sure
on this
I believe
one.
You.
No, trust me. Melanie, are you ready?
I think so.
Okay. Set the clock at 27 minutes. Here's your first question. When you enter a bathroom after Drew has been in there, what color do you really hope not to see in the bowl?
Brown.
Disgusting. We're going to have a talk in the writer's room. Number two, name a word you might use to describe a dog that you could also use to describe your partner.
Scary.
Scary, okay. Next question, name something you would find in Uncle Sal's wallet.
Again. Money.
That's a good question. A good answer. I like that one. Next question. Name a behavior a dog would get away with that Drew should never get away with, but sometimes does.
Sleeping.
Sleeping. And finally, name something appealing about working from home. Something appealing about working from home.
Not having to see other people.
I like that one a lot. Ding, 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 ding. There is the virtual bell going off. Great round. Okay, we're going to run up. So, first question you said, Pagan, are you on the calculator for me?
I am.
Okay, because everybody knows, terrible at math. When you enter a bathroom after Drew has been in there, what color do you really hope not to see in the toilet bowl? You said brown. Number one answer, 61 points. I would have gone with clear. Not sure that's a color, but that was scare me because it means he did it somewhere else. Name a word you might use to describe a dog that you could also use to describe your partner. You said scary. Clearly somebody who likes to live life on the edge. I'd like my dog to be scary and my partner and friends as well. 4 points. 4 points for scary. Loyal was number one, followed closely by playful and hairy. I don't know about that. 17 people liked hairy. They want their partner hairy. Name something you would find in Uncle Sal's wallet. Of course, the number one answer was a photo of your beautiful mother. Number two, though, money. Yes, 29 points. Big one. Love it. Name a behavior a dog would get away with that Drew shouldn't get away with, but sometimes does. You said sleeping. Sleeping, two. Sorry, the number one answer, of course, public pooping. Drew is, he's known for that. He's not allowed at any outdoor malls anymore, matter of fact. And finally, name something appealing about working from home. Number one answer, no clothes or dress code, of course. But you said avoiding coworkers. I'm going to give you 14 points because it also says seeing family. So, and you said others. So I'm putting those two together. 14 points. 14 points. Brings her to a grand total of?
110.
110. Michelle, you're up against it. 110 is a good score. Anytime you get over your triple digits, Melanie, well done. 110 points. Gonna be difficult, especially this one's kind of, I mean, this is going to be tough for you to answer, but this is going to be a good one for her, pretty much. Just from where she's from. You just, by the way, you wouldn't have got this question had you decided to go first. So good on you. Ready? Here we go. Set the clock at 3 days. Tell me something for which Kentucky is famous.
Creating the toothbrush, because if it was created anywhere else, it'd be called the teeth brush.
Is that?
You know what? Just that's, a toothbrush.
That's fighting words is what that is.
It's just a great answer. Name something you'd hate to find swimming around in your bathtub.
Drew.
Name a reason a person might be running.
Drew is chasing them.
Name something you might put in your bed before you go to sleep. She says Drew. Name something Drew. You might put in your bed before you go to sleep to keep you warm at night.
Drew's beard.
Finally, name a plant people might grow themselves in their garden.
Drew.
If I told you this was for money, if this was like for a lot of money, Melanie, I think things are looking really good for you right now. I'm just going out on a limb because there's a bit of a Drew fetish going on around here that's making me just a little sweaty. Tell me something for which Kentucky is famous. Number one answer, of course, the Kentucky Derby, horse racing, followed by a chicken and bourbon and Drew, which the only time you didn't say Drew, you could have got points. You said a teeth brush for the tooth. So that gets a zero, but it gets 50 points in my heart. But still, for the game, of all the people we surveyed, name something.
Your heart's really all that I'm after. No, so.
name something you'd hate to find swimming around in your bathtub. You said, well, Drew and Richard McGonagall got the same amount of answers. That's 3 points. But the number one answer was a rat or a mouse, followed by a snake. So
going well.
So 3 points. Name a reason a person might be running. You said to get away from Drew. Get away from Richard McGonagall would have got you 18 points. A lot of people. Exercise. I mean, Drew could be a form of exercise. I'm going to give you 36 points for that one. And I only say that because you're not going to do too well on the next two. Name something you might put in your bed before you go to sleep to keep you warm at night. You said, wait a minute. Number two answer was another person. But Drew is not really a person, is he now? And you said the hair on Drew. So maybe we'll give you 6 because somebody said dog and cat. So that,
oh, perfect.
That will equal. Right, so we'll give you 6.
I think. Thanks.
Although Drew, well, you know what? I'm actually going to give you 14 points because 14 people said pajamas, and you could wear Drew as pajamas because it would keep you warm.
If you're so weird.
14 points. You get 14 points. However, on this one, I don't think we name a plant people might grow themselves. Tomatoes, number one answer. My dad used to grow those in our yard. Flowers, roses, apples, zucchini. We would have even accepted grass or weed, marijuana. You said Drew.
Kind of like a chia pet, maybe. You know?
All he needs is watered with soup.
You know?
Drew could actually... get... Melanie, congratulations! You are our big winner today on Retro Feud. Michelle, you win the award for the most Drew responses in a game, and clearly some of the most creative one. I do like the toothbrush. Get that toothbrush going. But Melanie's the big winner of the Retro Feud here for November 12th. It has been a blast. Again, we don't have anything, but we're working that out.
You win nothing.
Do you know what we should? Yes, you win. You win our love and adulity, our adulation. Mm.
That's a
big word.
Well, that's
a word.
Rude.
It's an SAT word.
that nobody delivers anything in West Virginia anyway. If we could send you anything, they're too afraid.
Accurate.
They just leave it at the Kentucky border and go. They'll figure it out.
That's
accurate. You and I are going to have a lot of fun with this West Virginia thing over these years.
I'm fine with that.
Guys, love you guys so much. Thank you for being such a big part of the show. We you know what? At some point, we're going to go back through the winners and Michelle.
Thank you.
Send them, because she wins for creativity. Melanie put her noodle to work.
Mm-hmm.
She just tickled that Drew button all day. It's like, well, this is fun.
Now that I know there's a Drew button, boy, there's some more fun to be had.
You know, the funny thing is I kind of just want to find out what you'd say on the other question. Drew, I want to see how many I'm going to go back and see how many points she would have got if she had gotten the first four with all Drew answers. Might have been good.
Yeah,
like what color?
If you add the two up, it could win.
When you enter a bathroom, Drew's been in there, what color do you hope? Drew, the color of Drew would be brown.
Yeah. Ish.
Ish. Depending on the day. All right, guys. Thank you again. Appreciate it. And we'll see you next time on Retro Feud or whatever we decide to call it.
Thank you very much.
Bye, guys.
Thanks. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Hey, guys, it's time for our photos on the bar. Today, up first, Patty Quinn. Next to Patty, the Naughty Bandicoot. That's Alexis with some very electrifying eye makeup. And Cassie Enscar. Photos on the bar. Thank you for having them out there. Also, it's time for the member shout-out. So, at our Get Good level, you know, Get Good, the Aussie kind of show there, Ricky Starton, it's Amelia Brown, Amelia B, Whirlwind Lou X Lovin' JB, Lucy. I just like saying that. Whirlwind Lou X Lovin' JB. Ex-loving job? I don't know. And Wazoo Slump, Ryan G, at the Get Good level. And then Drew's Filthy Soup level. I added the filthy. It's not necessarily filthy, but I see it that way. Deadly Sin Meliodas. That's Bradley. Caleb Stockstill. And Clint Cochran. Thank you so much for being members of Drew's Soup. And finally, at the Altered Beast, you know what it is. Josh Neff, Akeem L, what's Auk33M? He's my man. The Red Namey, Naomi R, and Best Auntie Ever, or Best Auntie Ever, as we used to say in Massachusetts. They are Altered Beast, and those are all our members for this week. And here's your shout out. See you next week, guys. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to Alan Tudyk. Thanks to Drew. Thanks for all the topics and tangents. And remember, Astro Boy, all the cheat codes, all day long. Just little boy killing everything. Touching. Oh, my God. Too much fun. Drew. The Drew Brush. A tooth Drew.
Retro Replay stars Nolan North and was created by PJ Harzma, Drew Lewis, and Nolan North. This episode was edited by me, Stephanie Judge, and mixed by Paul Baugh. This show is listener supported, so if you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes or join our community as a member on YouTube. You can choose from one of four tiers to support on a monthly basis. If you're currently a member, thank you for supporting and keeping this channel going. This show is brought to you by Red Bear Films and Retro Replay. I'm Stephanie Judge. Stick around for another episode, or we'll see you next week.